Before I let you go, my next guest is Walter Block, and he's Loyola University, New Orleans. You know where that is?
My school?
Is that where you're at?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me introduce you to Professor Walter Block. Hey, Walter, you there? Walter, get on the mic, man. Well, we'll talk about him. Walter Block is one of the, he is a hardcore libertarian there at your university, and he's on the show right now. Libertarians for Trump! You know, we're just going to talk about it. And the thing is, you just spend a few minutes with him, and he'll explain it to you.
Wow, that's wild.
Hey, Walter, you there?
I'm here, Ernie, but you keep fading in and out.
Okay.
Maybe we should do this by phone instead.
All right, well, I got a girl on the phone, Tiffany Ferguson, socially unacceptable from your university, a student there that is doing a bunch on the unfairness of the system, and Bernie Sanders got screwed and whatever. And guess what? Walter Block is down in his office talking to me right now, and we're going to talk about this, and you need to go visit and say hello to Walter Block. Will you do that for me, Tiffany?
Will do.
All right, score. All right, thanks for spending time with me. We're going to do this again soon.
Thank you for having me. Have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Walter, I'm going to have a pretty young thing's going to come say hello to you.
That'll be very nice.
That'd be very nice. You know, she's, Bernie Sanders, the unfairness of the system, and a big YouTube channel, and going, yeah, Donna pointed out that, heck, you're down the hall. All right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah. Don't be. The universe just kind of works, because it does. You know, sooner or later, man, so what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? We got Professor Walter Block on a university there in New Orleans, the same university. What am I saying here? Loyola? Is that how you say it, Walter?
Correct.
I'm sorry?
Yes, correct.
Okay, Loyola University there in New Orleans. There's a young woman. He's a senior fellow at the Mises Institute, professor of economics at the College of Business there in New Orleans. He's got, Walter Block, man, the man. You know, now this is what happened, Walter. We're going to talk about Libertarians for Trump and how that's been going since last we talked a couple of weeks ago. But let me tell you what happened. Here in Arizona, you know, the election win, it's corrupt, it's bad, and, you know, it's bad. Well, there's a young woman that she's 20 years old. She's a freshman there. She's had a YouTube channel since the beginning for 9 years when she was in fifth grade. She's got all these tweenies, you know, the big giant, but they, now she starts getting interested in politics. They don't want to talk politics, so she starts another channel called Socially Unacceptable. She been doing some, and she's an attractive young woman that, you know, has an opinion, looking at the fairness and, you know, everything that, you know, we're talking about in the election cycle, but from a progressive, because she's young woman looking for and whatever, finding, you know, I'm going independent, man. What the, screw this. Man, we need to get you up to Pork Fest. You need to be introduced to a bunch of people. You're coming to awareness, and, you know, welcome to our club. I mean, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Walter Block comes on, a professor down the hall. So I'm going, you're going to have a pretty young thing's going to come say hello to you. How about that? Who's going to hook you up?
That'll be fine.
All right. Well, make sure, you know, you give her the time of day and so on. That'll be awesome. We're going to get her on the right path here. Now, the thing is that Libertarians for Trump, first let's talk about the beginnings of this. And then, you know, we had a gentleman that listens in Texas, Laredo, wherever it is, that knows Bumper Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation. They grew up together. He listens to the show, and he goes, you know, I listen to Walter, listen to this. He goes, here's it. If you'll do it, here's the money. Go ahead. I got him working with some of the guys. He wants a T-shirt, you know, F the establishment or something, and it's Trump Sanders T-shirt. Now, I know we had talked about, you know, Libertarians for Trump. And maybe Sanders, what the heck, you know, against the thing. So here we got this meme is already going for a Trump Sanders of just screw the man kind of thing. And I wonder if it you just saw it coming and you jumped in front of that freaking parade or you're riding that wave. And how's it been going from when you started Tell Us Everything, Mr. Walter Block?
Well, what happened was my friend Donald Miller, Dr. Donald Miller, wrote an article in LouRockwell.com saying that Trump is our last best chance to keep us out of World War III. And I was inspired by that. And I started this thing called Libertarians for Trump because I also am against World War III. And both Donald and I think Donald Miller, that is, and I think that Donald Trump is the best shot at avoiding World War III. So we started Libertarians for Trump. I asked Donald Miller to join me, and he agreed. And then we managed to get Ralph Raico to be the third founding member of it. And we now have, I don't know how many people, it keeps growing. I thought, you know, I'd try to get 100 people. I think we're up to 3,000 or 4,000 people, something like that. I'm not sure of the numbers. It keeps growing every day. And happily, people no longer have to email me anymore. We have thelibertariansfortrump@gmail.com. And people can join in that way. And it's growing like Topsy. And we've sort of been in touch with some of the Donald Trump people. And I think they do appreciate our efforts because one of the arguments against Donald Trump is that the main people he attracts to his banner are, I don't know, high school dropouts. Well, the libertarians that we've got, I mean, Donald Miller is a doctor. Ralph Raico has got a PhD from Chicago in history. And I have a PhD from Columbia in economics. And a lot of the libertarians are intellectual types and academics and professors, not the typical high school dropout. So we want to show that Donald Trump's support is not limited to this one narrow demographic, but is much more wide ranging.
You know, one thing, you know, I want to bring up is that are you getting an echo from me? It'll go away here in a little bit. The one thing that I'm interested in, we went to the Mises Circle here in Phoenix in December, I think it was, and Lou Rockwell, and it was really hard to follow in his speech. I'm like, God, I got to read this. What the hell is he saying? And it's kind of this Hans Hermann Hoppe thing about libertarians, we got to have, if not a wall, certainly a country and a border and not this open border thing anymore. And kind of, you know, and I've been through this before when in 04, when the libertarians were kind of, well, a little war is okay in Afghanistan and they're start breaking on. I'm going, whoa. Somebody explain this to me. What is the argument that Lou is making now? And you start to see Jeff Dice and Mises Institute and they're supporting kind of a border thing. What is that all about? Explain it to me.
Well, I thought we were going to speak about Donald Trump, but I'm happy to switch gears. That's
okay. Donald, this is it's a border thing. He's build the wall. Now we got libertarians for Trump. Now we got libertarians talking about the border. It's the same thing.
Oh, well, I don't see it as the same thing because my reason for supporting Donald Trump has got nothing to do with that wall. The very opposite is the case. I'm an open borders libertarian, so I disagree with Donald Trump on the border. I disagree with Donald Trump on most of his economics. I disagree with him on his views on international trade. I disagree with him on keeping Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and stuff like that. I disagree with him on a lot of things. It's just that I support him on his foreign policy, and I think his foreign policy is more important than everything else put together. Because World War III is a very bad thing. And Donald Trump is the only one who said things like, well, let's get rid of NATO. It's true he didn't clearly say let's get rid of NATO. Sometimes he said, let's get rid of it. Sometimes he said, its time is done. Sometimes he said, we should fix it up. But he's the only one that ever remotely mentioned NATO in this regard, whereas his two main competitors now, Cruz and Kasich, They don't want to get rid of NATO. With regard to Putin, Donald Trump says he can get along with Putin. Putin says he can get along with Donald Trump. Well, I think that's great because the neocons, the warmongering conservatives, they want to have a war with Russia. And I don't want to have a war with Russia.
No,
I think
I'm hip. I'm with you. The point that I'm making is that there is a contingent of libertarians, prominent libertarians, that are kind of open to this concept of a border. I just need you to, you'll take 30 seconds and explain to me what the hell Lou is talking about.
Well, I think it's going to take more than 30 seconds, and I insist that it's shifting in gears, but I don't mind shifting gears, Ernie. The border is a very important and interesting question from a libertarian point of view, and I'm happy to talk about it, even though this is an area on which I disagree with Donald Trump.
I understand. I just need you to... You're killing me, man. Just explain to me what they're talking about, because...
I will.
All right.
I will.
You got 45 seconds.
Oh, it's going to take a lot more than
all
that.
All right, we'll do it when we come back. The whole... Well, we do it in the break. You know, that's fine. We don't want to waste a bunch of...
No. Now that you raised it, I do want to talk about
all
it.
Right, we'll do that. The reason that I bring it up, Walter, is because where is the overlap with libertarians for Trump? How is that even possible? Well, I don't know. Walter Block has made it very clear that he doesn't want to go into a third world war, and there are some people that do. Well, who are these people? They're the ones that control the election. That's who. So I'm going, okay, this is this is an important discussion. And what we have, one of the students at the university that he teaches at is out there trying to find out the truth too. Yeah, this is. So when we come back, just, skip to the end, the argument, because I couldn't really, even what Lou was talking, Rothbard said, and so-and-so, and the justification of, and Hans Hermann, and kind of, and I'm going, whoa, that's all, what the hell are you saying? And it was just, I'm still not very clear on it. I just need someone like you that knows these guys and understands their argument just to give me the freaking minute of whatever the heck it is they're talking about and skip to the end. We could already been done and go on to the next thing. I just want to know and get on record of somebody that understands it better than I do. So we'll go ahead,
Ernie,
and do that.
Ernie, I will be very happy to do it, but it's going to take a lot more than a minute. It's going to take a good 10 or 15 minutes.
No way.
Yes way.
Why?
And it's worth it because it's a very complicated issue and it deserves a clarification, and I can't do it in 30 seconds, but I will do it.
I guarantee when you get done, I got a bumper sticker that'll say the same thing. We'll see what I can do. I'll just skip it. I'll go, and bumper sticker, So we'll go ahead and see if I can do that. The other thing is that the growth of the libertarians for Trump, what kind of criticism are you getting and from where?
Well, which one do you want to talk about, that or borders first?
No, the border thing. We're going to do that.
Okay.
And then
good.
We'll get into, because that's really what, you're on for, is kind of to see how this thing is going and who's being critical and who's supportive. And then, of course, you already said that, there's somebody from the campaign. We had Roger Stone on last week, and he's coming on this next Thursday. And he was supposed to be on yesterday, but he had to, because of all this crap that happened, they're off doing whatever. And so I made sure that he knew about this, tell him, going, hey, man, you got all the libertarians here, Walter Block, here he comes. So they're, I know that they're getting it from a whole bunch of points that you're out there. So I'm wondering what kind of overture has been made from the campaign, if any.
Sure, we'll talk about all of that.
All right, done. So we'll get that. We'll be back in about a minute and a half. Here we go.
Ernie, maybe we better do this by phone because half the words I can't hear.
From me?
From you and from the guy who just spoke.
All right, I'll have Donna call you.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Chief! Ooh,
people's out here, and damn. Well, who's helping us? You know, guys like Mr. Walter Block. He's gonna. You know, well, see, how's the signal? Can you hear me now, Walter?
Now I can barely hear you.
All right. Well, I can talk louder. We'll go ahead and get you on the phone. Donna will do you in the next segment. Donna, can she just call you right now? We'll switch over.
Sure.
All right, Donna, go ahead and put him in the system. Yeah, she's calling you right now. We'll just switch over when we got connected. You know, the one thing that I wanted to, this border thing, you say you need some time, so let's not waste time. All right, go. Explain it to us.
Okay, it's a very complicated issue. Initially, Murray Rothbard, who I regard as Mr. Libertarian, who I regard as the fount of all things libertarian, the creator of it, in effect, initially was for an open borders. Why? Because crossing a border is not per se a violation of the non-aggression principle. And the non-aggression principle is the be-all and end-all. Well, not the whole be-all and end-all of libertarianism. There's also private property rights. But it is a very significant and important part of libertarianism. Then Murray switched. He then became not an open borders person. He became a person who supported limitations on immigration. And the event that changed his mind was the fact that Russia put in a lot of people in one of those small countries, Lithuania, I forget which country. And now Lithuania is like three quarters Russian, and it sort of ruined Lithuania. And that was his argument. Now, Hans Hoppe has a very, very important argument, and I regard Hans Hoppe as perhaps the most creative, brilliant libertarian theoretician now on the planet, after Murray Rothbard. And what's Hans's argument? Hans's argument is, look, there are three things that go on in international trade. One is the movement of goods, one is investment, and one is immigration. And in the first two cases, there are always two people who agree. For example, in the movement of goods, let's say somebody from Canada exports some maple syrup to Costa Rica, and you have two people agreeing. The exporter in Canada agrees to sell the maple syrup, and the importer in Costa Rica agrees to pay a unit of maple syrup or whatever it is. So that's one example where there are two people agreeing. Let me give you another example. Somebody in France invests in England, and he buys a factory in England. Who does he buy a factory from? Somebody who owned the factory or some land, and then he builds a factory, and then he has to buy raw materials. In each and every case, there's two parties who agree. And then Hans says, but look, international trade's a little different. Immigration's a little different. Now somebody comes from China or Africa or Mars or Syria, and they come to Germany or they come to the U.S. And they just come. There's nobody who invites them. There's nobody who agrees to host them. They just come with no buy or leave. And what Hans says is that there's a disanalogy between immigration on the one hand and the other two aspects of international mobility, namely goods and investment. And therefore, what Hans says is that this is really trespass. Because, Ernie, if I come to your house without your permission and I just sort of park on your couch in your living room without your permission, well, that's trespass. And Hans says that this is contrary to libertarian theory, and Murray Rothbard agrees with him. And that is the argument that Lou Rockwell and Jeff Deist and many other staunch libertarians, highly credentialed libertarians, brilliant libertarians take.
Okay. I have my view is another opinion, different. But go ahead and express your opinion.
My view is a little different. And I wear the eyeglasses of libertarianism, and I look at everything very, very carefully from the viewpoint of the eyeglasses of libertarianism, which is the non-aggression principle. And I ask myself, I say, suppose somebody from Mars or China or Africa or South America or Venus or anywhere comes to the U.S. and he parks himself in the middle of Alaska or in the middle of Wyoming in the Rocky Mountains, and he starts homesteading land. Did he or did he not violate rights? And my answer is no, he didn't violate rights because that is unowned land. Now, the opposite view is, well, no, it's not unowned land. It's owned by the citizens of the United States. And the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, sort of owns it in behalf of all the people in the United States. And I say that's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because three of the most eloquent and eminent theoreticians of homesteading virgin territory and making it private property are John Locke, Murray Rothbard, and Hans Hoppe. And I say that the only way that you can homestead land is by, quote, mixing your labor with it, and unquote. And this middle of Alaska or middle of Wyoming in the Rocky Mountains has never been touched by human hands or by human feet or by human anything. So therefore, they're wrong. This is not private property. This is unowned land. And anyone who stops somebody from homesteading unowned land is a violator of rights. And therefore, if the immigration authorities go to this Chinese person or African person or Martian and say, hey, you immigrant, you are homesteading land, we're kicking you out because you came in without any passport or any buy or leave or any permission, well, they're in the wrong. They are being non-libertarian. So what I'm saying is that Murray Rothbard and Hans Hoppe and Lou Rockwell and Jeff Deist and every other libertarian who think that we should not have open borders in this sense are wrong. Now, what they'll say in response is, well, most of the immigrants don't go there. They go to the cities or they go to small towns or whatever, and I don't care. I reject this argument. I don't care where they go. The question is open borders per se a violation of rights? And I say, no, it isn't, because I'd come up with one case, one counterexample, and that's all I need, one counterexample. Now, the case becomes more complicated. Because what they will then say in this debate, imaginary debate I'm having with them, they will say, well, look, if a billion Chinese come, or a billion people from India come, or a billion people from Mars come, they will change the culture of the United States, just like Russia changed the culture of, I forget which little country, maybe Lithuania, and we find that unacceptable. Well, one problem I have with that argument is that it's utilitarian. It's not deontology. Namely, it talks about the happiness of people, and they're saying that, you know, we Americans will not be happy if a billion Martians come here and have different culture. And I say, well, you know, utilitarianism is interesting and pragmatism is important. But for a libertarian, we have a different standard. And our standard is, does it violate rights or not? And the only way you can violate rights is by initiating violence against innocent people or their property, and the immigrant is not doing that. Okay. Now,
we're going into break, but we'll continue this. Okay, go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, no, I want to finish it on air.
All right, well, you got to skip to the end, man. We're going to run out. All right.
Don't we have a whole hour, Ernie?
Yeah. No, but we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. But this is interesting. We'll go ahead and keep it on point here. My opinion, as you know, is more in line with yours, because they here in Arizona, this issue always comes up. Well, they're coming over, they're trespassing. Trespassing against whom? Well, the government. And I'm going, no, you got to come up with better than that. Well, I go, I'm looking at the issue when it was early 2000s, and we just started doing radio and so on, and this was the Minutemen on the border. Well, they had come to me, and Donna even looked for some land for them, and eventually bought where the Minuteman had the land on the border. So the argument from a libertarian perspective, I'm going, okay, here is a perfect example. Here is a privately owned piece of land on the border that people are coming onto their land. Does the private property owner have the ability to repel that trespass? Yes or no? The government says no. You're not allowed to protect your own land. Now, maybe on these three fences that face into the U.S., but this one international one, nope, can't do anything about it. The foreign invaders can come on your land.
Ernie, why are you wasting this brilliant stuff just for an audience of one, namely me? This is very important stuff. You should say it on the air.
I will, but I have 15 gazillion times. I mean, I go down.
Okay.
I go down to the border, and it was Naco, Arizona, where they have, you know, a big wall that's like a mile or something that goes. And then, of course, the cable news, they'll get up right next to that fence, and they'll look left, and they'll look right, and it looks like infinity. You step back 5 feet, and you see it has, you know, an end to it. So you go. You drive down to the end of the fence, and I go, get the video camera going. You ready? Here we go. And I step over, and I go, I'm in Mexico, I'm in U.S. I'm in Mexico, and I'm in U.S. I'm going, what a joke. It was just stupid. Then you get up on the rise and you can see the Minuteman Ranch thing. Well, it was just, we're going to build the fence. Well, this fence is a couple of hundred yards. It was just all BS. And I'm going, what the hell is going... The problem was, is that the government prevents the private property owner from defending their own land, and then they don't defend it for them or even anything else. It's just a game. This is a total game. But I'm going, if Trump builds a wall, that's going to be the biggest scar on his life or this whole America, you know, ever. So I'm just, like, not a big fan of that. So... This is, all right, we'll get into it. I want to, you know, we'll keep doing, we'll do more show. We'll all express ourselves on everything, and there's more Trumpisms coming. We had Richard Winger on a few days ago, and right after that, he wrote the article on Lou Rockwell about the ability for Trump to even get on after the Republican convention, you know, as whatever, you know. So I'm absolutely certain that Trump is not an idiot. If he really, really wants to, you know, be in the presidential mix of I'm on the debate, we'll kick your butt, and actually start spending some money, he can do it if he wants to. I'm just wondering, I'm still not clear what he really is wanting to accomplish here. Is he exposing them? Is he going to compete against them? There's something else going on. I'm wondering what that is. Maybe you can, when you find out, let me know.
Ernie, I'm shocked that you attacked my favorite institution, the government. How dare you?
I'm glad to laugh. You know, it's a concept. I don't even want to attack them. I don't even care. You know, I'm just like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's us. It's not them. We're the ones that empower this crap. That's why I was talking to this young girl. I'm going, man, you need to understand. It's not them. It's you. It's us. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Support Trump. I mean, so many different. Well, how about we just assume not have thermonuclear war? How about that? That's a good idea. So that's certainly Walter Block's position. He wanted me to just kind of share with you real quick. I was talking off air. What happened is that we are as libertarians, there is a philosophy, certainly on private property and defense and what we're allowed to do and can we defend our own. When the perfect example was when the Minuteman got the ranch down in southern Arizona in 2004, and so we were on the air talking about this, and my position was this. If you do own property that has, you know, you got one side, second, third side, all, you know, bordered up here in America. One side of your property fence line is the border. Are you allowed to defend your private property from invasion? People are just pouring over this fence. That's why they bought this property. That rancher just got, you know, he couldn't do his ranch. He couldn't provide for his animals. He couldn't, you know, he's just being invaded. They're taking everything and destroying property. So they go, oh, we'll take it. They paid for it, bought it, took. They start doing the fence thing. All this controversy going, blah, 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 blah. The thing was, is I'm going, the United States federal government prevented them from defending their own. You can defend the other three fences, but not that one. Okay, well, you go defend it. Nah, we got something else to do. I'm going, where is the government, you know, their position on defending? You have the right to defend your own property, except when you can't. Against invasion, what kind of sense does that make? So I'm going, I call BS on the whole thing. So that's kind of my, and we can go on and on from there, but you just want me to make that point. So go ahead and finish your point, Walter, on the subject.
Ernie, I can only hear every third word. Please telephone me because this isn't working.
I'll keep talking now because maybe
you can hear me. But
go check your phone.
It's important that I hear you too, so I understand. You know, we're having a conversation. Okay, let me continue, and hopefully you'll call me in a second.
No, she's got you. It's ringing right now. Go check your phone.
No, it's not ringing.
Okay, I'll get her to call you again, whatever the number she has. I said just put it on hold and let it ring.
Well, let me continue since we're on the air. What I was saying is the argument was if a billion Chinese or Indians come, they'll change our culture. And can we have our cake and eat it? Can we adhere to libertarian principle, which I very much want to do? And can we satisfy this fear or this objection? And I think I have a way that we can. And I've written several articles on this very point, and if people want further elucidation, Google Walter Block and Open Borders. Okay, so here's the deal. And this is very important because in Sweden, the people from Syria are coming over and they're molesting Swedish women. And in Cologne, Germany, you had a very similar sort of a thing. And Lou Rockwell and Jeff Deist and Hans Hoppe and other people are a little exercised about this, quite rightly. I would say what they should do is, put those people in jail. But the question is, can we keep them from coming in the first place? And the answer is yes. From a libertarian point of view, all we have to do is privatize every square inch of
There she is.
Yes, I'm now on the phone with you. All we have to do is privatize every square inch of land. And then, just as in the case you mentioned where people are coming over from Mexico on a private property and the government will not... Hello?
She's got operator or something.
Somebody else called me.
Oh.
Please try again, or I'll keep speaking now.
All right, go ahead and go.
What we have to do is privatize everything so that we don't have this problem of the Syrian young men coming over and molesting women in Cologne, Germany, or in Sweden, or in other places in Europe where they're coming, or in the United States, or anywhere else. Privatize every square inch of land, and then if they come without a buy or leave, without an invitation from somebody, some private property owner, well, then it is trespass. And then we can have our cake and eat it. We can have open borders libertarianism and not be inundated by masses of people. Now, there's one further complication. So far, I've talked about cases where the immigrants go to the middle of Alaska or the middle of Wyoming and the property there is not owned. Well, what about... I'm in New Orleans, and there's this thing called Audubon Park right across the street from Loyola University. What about that? Hello, is this Ernie?
Okay.
An immigrant.
Right. Hold on just a second. Let me switch you over.
Okay.
Okay, can we hear you on the phone now?
Yes, the phone is good. And I'll get off the, I won't listen to the Skype thing. Okay, so what about Audubon Talk? Suppose an immigrant from, again, Mars or China or India or somewhere comes and starts homesteading in the middle of Audubon Park. Now, here, my case is a little less clear. Hans Hoppe would say, well, this is private property. The people who put the money into Audubon Park are the rightful owners. And I don't want to get off on that argument. I think he's wrong on that. I think I'm right that this is an unowned property, and anyone should grab it, whether they're a U.S. citizen or a taxpayer or Ragnar Danish called from Atlas Shrugged. Anyone should grab it. But that's a very, very complicated issue, and I won't raise that here. I'll just mention it. But everywhere else. The point is, you privatize Audubon Park, and you privatize every unowned inch of land, and then if any immigrant came without a buy or leave, then he would be trespassing, and now we can have our cake and eat it. We can prevent masses of immigrants from coming, because they would now have to have permission. There would now have to be a two-way street, like there is in investment and there is in the movement of goods and services.
So you're saying that all of the property and the National Forest and the Grand Canyon should be privately owned? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's exactly what
I'm saying. That's exactly what we're saying.
Yes, precisely.
Problem
solved. You know that you and I have emailed each other, and you see at the bottom of every email I say something exactly, well, not something like, but I say exactly, if it moves, privatize it. If it doesn't move, privatize it. Since everything either moves or doesn't move, privatize everything. Yes. This is the libertarian axiom or the libertarian premise that we want private property. We libertarian anarchists, or anarcho-capitalists at least, not minarchists. Minarchists would say the government should own something, but I'm a libertarian anarchist, and I think that the government is per se an institution incompatible with liberty, and we ought to get rid of it. And if we get rid of it, then every square inch of property would be at least open for privatization. Now, you might have submarginal land in Alaska where nobody wants to homestead. But
I'll take it.
But those people from India or Mars or whatever, for them it's not submarginal because they're escaping dictators or whatever. So if we want to preclude them, we or somebody, some private people, have got to get up and start homesteading all the land, and then we will be safe from inundation from immigrants without losing our precious libertarian theory. And my claim against Murray Rothbard and Hans Hoppe and Lou Rockwell and Jeff Dice and all these other people is that they're giving away the store. They're giving away libertarian theory in order to protect us from rapists and murderers. And there are rapists and murderers outside of our borders.
I mean, to create the very entity that is the worst possible place or repository of our rights, putting it into this government thing as, you know, this fictitious or even legitimate concern that somebody's going to come harm us. And to stop that, we create this entity that beats the living snot out of us, takes our stuff and starts wars. That's the answer. I don't see it.
I fully agree with you. I converted a friend of mine to libertarianism, and he was worried about the gangs of people killing people or raping people. And according to statistics, in the last century, governments, apart from wars and apart from their drug laws, have killed something like 260 million people.
People.
Their own people, yes. So government is an evil abomination, and the less government we have, the better. And even and certainly Murray Rothbard and Hans Hoppe and Lou Rockwell and Jeff Dice would agree with that.
Lies. So, all right, hold on, we're on break.
Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You know, I'm just sitting here looking at this. You'll like this, just an aside. They are now doing operations where the surgeon is wearing a 3D camera headset, like a VR, and you get to watch them as training and just entertainment, watch them doing from the surgeon's perspective operations. That's awesome. This is, man, the future is damn. And they're unloading the SpaceX's ship from the barge and reusing that, and you know, there's so much stuff. On the left side of Freedom's Phoenix, it has all this top tech news stuff. I'm telling you, the future is just, we're going to go plaid past this government thing. They're a woo-wah car dropping over the horizon in my rearview mirror. I mean, it just doesn't matter. And I'm so encouraged by today, just the serendipity of having you on. And we have Tiffany Ferguson, this young girl that, you know, hadn't even heard of any of these ideas and getting exposed to this stuff. And one of the school's professors is on talking after she's 20. I'm going, the world is different, man. I'm telling you. Is there anything else you want to do on the border thing that we need to finish up on, or can we go?
No, I think we're finished with the borders. Let's get back to Donald Trump.
All right. Let's go ahead. And when we come back, the main thing that I'm interested in is your trolls. I just want to know all the criticisms, and you're not, and kind of never and always and something, you know? So,
well, there have been several criticisms. One criticism is that by voting at all, or by supporting any politician or voting for him, God forbid, we are violating libertarian principle because we're aiding and abetting the state.
Yep.
And therefore, we shouldn't do that. And I have a book out, my book on Ron Paul, who ran in 08 and in 12. And the title of it is Yes to Ron Paul and Liberty. And I wrote that book mainly to attack these libertarians, Wendy McElroy and several others, who think that by voting you're giving your imprimatur to the state and therefore you shouldn't do it. And the answer I gave was overseer goody and overseer baddy. We're all slaves now. This is the scenario. And the owner of the slaves says that we slaves can vote for overseer goody or overseer baddy. Overseer goody will beat the crap out of us once a month. Overseer baddy will beat the crap out of us equally harshly once a day.
Yeah, no, I'm with...
And we vote for overseer goody. Does that mean we support slavery? Come on, give me a break.
I understand.
So that's
I just
one argument that we shouldn't vote for any politician.
All right,
another argument
is promote.lrn.fm for free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Ernie, we were just not on the air.
No. Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah, let's take a looky-see. Yeah, Walter's like, hey, man, that was good stuff. What the heck, man? We were just in, that wasn't on the air? And I'm going, okay, we'll get it on the air. This is what we were talking about. He wrote a book, you know, in defense of Dr. Paul's campaign. And the point of the biggest criticism he gets on libertarians for Trump is that you're still voting. So a lot of hardcore libertarians, why are you enabling the state? My whole advocacy and what started me being an activist was the accuracy and the validity of the election itself. You can't even get to that argument until you can have that it even freaking matters anyway. I give you Ron Paul. I give you the Ross Perot years. I give you Goldwater. I give you Bernie. I give you Trump. The whole system is jacked up. And just the fact that they went from like 400 polling stations here in the last election down to 60, your last presidential election, down to 60 here in Maricopa County in five-hour lines of the kind of, you know, the whole system is jacked up. To support voting and the whole voting system is a lie, you know, that's just ew. Now let's assume that the elections were accurate. Let's assume that it was, you know, blockchain technology of absolutely perfect. If I get the vote from my phone and I have the confidence that it's what it's going to be and nobody screwed with it, then we can have the conversation about, you know, whether you're supporting the state or not. I'm like, you're just supporting the psyop. You know, voting, in my opinion, it is just, you're just supporting the lie. This is not, this, and we're starting to get an edumacation on that right freaking not later, Walter. So my point is that before you even get to whether you should vote or not, do you have any expectation that it's accurate?
Well, obviously, anything touched by the government is going to be inefficient and immoral and problematic. I'm talking about a platonic vote. a vote where, you know, you don't have to wait 5 hours and where people are allowed to vote and you don't have a test like they used to have for black people who have you memorize the Constitution and if you haven't, you can't vote. I'm not talking about that stuff. The criticism that has been leveled against Donald Trump for president or libertarians for Trump has been that if you vote at all, even if the voting is valid somehow, don't ask, that's wrong. And what I'm saying is if you vote for Overseer Goody, who only beats you once a month, and you vote against Overseer Batty, who will beat you every day, you're not supporting slavery. And similarly, if you vote for the lesser of two evils, it doesn't mean you're supporting the system. And then people say, well, you're giving your imprimatur just by getting into the election. And I say, well, if that's true, then if you have U.S. fiat currency in your wallet, or you walk on the government streets, or you use a public park, or you use the post office, you're giving your imprimatur. And what I say is libertarianism is not a suicide pact. You don't have to go off in the woods and live alone.
But you don't have to advocate. See, the thing is, you know, I hear this all the time. I've been doing this for, God, almost 30 years. And I'm going, here, what do? They come in and they'll say, well, you drove on the roads to get here. Yeah, but you will never hear me advocating for the gun to someone's head to take their money to build the road. That is not going to happen. Now, but you use this, you got this, you took the advantage of this, you went to this park, you go, I'm going, yeah, I'm breathing. I mean, you know, I understand, but I'm not advocating for the theft. I'm not advocating for the participation. I'm not advocating for the bolstering of the state. I understand their arguments. I'm with them, but I don't see a central plan for freedom. I'm not advocating. I advocate everybody gets to do what the hell they want. You know, pace. So libertarians for Trump. Let's get back to that because we're in the last segment here. I want to make sure that we see what kind of success you've had. The last time that we talked, you had a few hundred, 300-400 people. And it's been a week or two? Where are you at now?
I think we're at 3,000 or 4,000. I'm not sure. The number keeps creeping up.
Damn. Okay.
We're moving up a little bit, despite the criticisms, because you know, we don't want Hillary, we don't want Cruz, we don't want Kasich, because these are neocon warmongers. And another criticism of libertarians for Trump is they start listing all the areas where Donald Trump is non-libertarian. And believe me, there are plenty. And it's not just on economics and personal liberties where he's a non-libertarian. He's also a non-libertarian on foreign policy. He's no Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul was magnificent. Ron Paul was I can't say enough positive about him. But the point is, Donald Trump is no Ron Paul, even on foreign policy.
Now, his son was no Ron Paul.
Well, when Rand Paul was in the election, I was in the nomination process. I was supporting Rand Paul on the ground that Rand Paul, even though not a perfect libertarian like his father almost is, was, you know, pretty good, or the best of the 17 people that were then running, or the 15 people, or however many people were running. And my, you know, there's a joke. An economist was asked, "How is your wife?" It came the answer, "Compare to what?" You have to compare it to something. So if you say, you know, Donald Trump is no good because he's a little weak on this and he's a little weak on that and he's very weak on the third thing, compare to what? Compare to Cruz? Compare to Kasich? You mention Putin to Kasich or Cruz and they start snarling. You mention, you know, Donald Trump said things like, look, we got rid of the guy in Libya. We got rid of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and we made a mess. And now that we want to get rid of the guy in Syria, not on my watch. I mean, Donald Trump has said some very, very good things on foreign policy, which indicate to me and others, members of LFT, Libertarians for Trump, that he's less likely to get us into World War III. Another argument is, well, we never know for sure. Yeah, we never know for sure what Donald Trump is going to do when he's in office, but we never know for sure what anyone is going to do when they get in office. George Bush, 43, ran on a peace platform.
Yeah,
and he got us, got us in the war.
Nation building, where I'm non-interventionist, I wouldn't never, and kind of 9/11, let's go nuke somebody.
Right. So you never know what these guys are going to do, but you always have to make a decision in the face of imperfect information, and there's no exception now. Yes, we don't know what Donald Trump will do, and Donald Trump is imperfect, and he deviates from libertarianism in many, many ways, but the alternative is Cruz or Kasich. Which is better? You know, I say to these people, look, suppose I put a gun to your head. I had a debate on Tom Wood's show with Robert Wenzel, and I said, suppose I put a gun to your head, Bob, and I said, you have to pick between Trump and Kasich and Cruz. And you know what he said?
I don't have to pick.
No, he said Kasich.
Why?
Well, because he hates Donald Trump. And Kasich is an avowed warmonger, whereas at least Donald is saying some non-warmongering things, although he's saying other warmongering things. But if you have to choose, if I put a gun to your head and I say you must choose or I'll blow up the world or whatever and you choose, you have to choose Donald Trump if you're a libertarian, because he's the closest to libertarianism. He's not a libertarian, God forbid, he's not a libertarian. But he's the closest, and we have to pick the best, just like we picked Overseer Goody.
You know, one thing that I would like to do, I had, do you know who Roger Stone is?
Of course.
Okay, Roger Stone was on the show last week, and come to find out, I didn't know he's a longtime libertarian, you know, and that he's, you know, he wrote, you know, the Bush crime family and against Hillary and that, you know, all this kind of stuff, and he has Donald Trump's ear. So I'm going, well, let me tell you what I want you to tell him in his ear. Walter Block's going to be calling you.
Well, you know, we have a website now, Libertarians for Trump, and Mr. Stone's essay on Donald Trump is figured prominently there.
Have you talked to Stone?
No, I haven't spoken to him.
Would you like to?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, done. Stay on. I'll call him right now when we get done with this, hook you guys up. I want to make sure that you're talking, because Donald Trump, I get the impression that he's not an idiot, of course, and that he's, you know, he's dealing from a populist kind of whatever, you know, he knows how it's played. But for him to be able to, you know, sit down just with you and doing Libertarians for Trump, there are sooner or later is going to be an opportunity for you guys to talk, in my estimation. The sooner we can get that to happen, the better.
Ernie, I have an appointment at 10 o'clock my time, and we got one more minute, but if you can give me his email address,
Boom.
I'd be happy to be in touch with him that way.
Boom. I tell you what, I'm going to send both of you an email with each other's information, imploring him to speak with you, and I guarantee you both of you know who each other are. I can't believe you guys haven't hooked up already. So this will be the fastest way to get right, you know, stand there and say hello, Mr. Trump. So we're going to work this out.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate always being on your show.
No, it's great having you on. Oh, don't forget about Tiffany Ferguson!
Okay, I will speak to her when I see her.
All right, we're done.
I hope she comes by my office or gets in touch with me.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about the break. We have gazillion times more listeners to the archive than the live show. I mean, I assume. I mean, I of course, I don't know how many all the affiliate blah, blah, blah. But I just, you know, there's enough downloads that you're fine. So we include this in the archive.
I didn't realize that.
Most of the interesting stuff is in the break. That's why Donna always tells the guests, all right, we record during the break, so whatever you say, I don't want to hear you whining later, okay?
Ernie, I didn't know that. Okay, I now have a different view. I was saying I don't want to talk to you during the break, because then I'll forget or repeat myself. And
No, that's fine. We get it in the live show, and we usually summarize what we talk about. But no, people, that's why the archive is so popular on, you know, the iTunes and on the site and on the other, and the people downloading our app and all, declare your independence on the Play Store and Android and all that. Most people listen to radio when they want to. They got their own little podcast of how I can see it. So I'm going, you know, when we started doing radio in February of 2003, when I first went on, we recorded and had online the whole show. And what happened is everybody's like, holy crap, how the hell did a libertarian get on the major media market in Morning Drive? When did that happen? So when they were freaking out about, oh my God, you're in the ratings of you gotten 5 and 10,000 listeners on the country, I go, hell, I had that many downloads. I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Magnificent, Ernie. As always, I got to get off, but thanks for having me, and I hope to be on again soon.
All right. Thanks, Walter. Peace, brother.
Take care. Bye.